Hello and welcome to the Landed Podcast. I'm John Montgomery, co-founder of Landed, a travel company specializing in tailor-made journeys throughout Latin America and the Antarctic. At Landed, we're devoted to exploring these regions, searching out exceptional experiences and locations for our clients. The Landed Podcast profiles some of our favorite places and brings you conversations with friends we've made along the way, explorers, artists, and visionaries. If you're a repeat listener, welcome back. If you're new to the show, thanks for joining us. East of the Andes, Peru's landscape descends into densely forested river basin. The waters collected here merge with those from the northern half of the continent to form the tributaries of the Amazon. In Peru's north, the island city of Iquitos is a launching point for multi-day river cruises. Each day, guests are presented with full and half-day options to explore narrow river branches, visit indigenous communities, and view exotic wildlife. Longer cruise programs visit the Pacaya Samiria Reserve, which spans more than 5 million acres. In this region, you can encounter pink river dolphins, monkeys, sloths, caimans, and a rainbow of birds. If you're very lucky, you might see a jaguar or a tapir. December through March is rainy season, with higher temperatures and afternoon rainfall. So to avoid the heat, most excursions are conducted in the early morning and afternoon. Midday is best for siestas and cold drinks. I've been coming to the Amazon for more than 20 years, and it continually surprises. The wildlife, the weather, the people, the seasons make each visit unique and special. In my travels through southern Peru, Brazil, Colombia, and Ecuador, most of my Amazon explorations have been by canoe or on foot or from lodges. On this trip, I was welcomed aboard the Aria, a small-scale cruiser based in the northern Peruvian city of Iquitos. The Aria is more than a luxury vessel. It's a floating base for wildlife observation and excursions on the river and into the forest. The mobility of these cruises broadens your reach, allowing you to experience a broader range of wildlife and habitats. While aboard the Aria, I sat down with two of the guides who made my trip so worthwhile. George Davila and Roger Tejada grew up on this river. This is the home of their ancestors. Their trained eyes have astonishing forest vision, spotting camouflaged wildlife undetectable to mere mortals like me. When we weren't goggling birds, dolphins, and primates, these guys were making me laugh. It's obvious they love their work. They meet each day with a contagious sense of playfulness and wonder. Here's my conversation with George Davila and Roger Tejada. I'm here with George Davila aboard the Aria. And George, tell me, how long have you been guiding with the Aria?
I've been here almost 7 years, guiding on board Aria. But in my whole years on guiding, I've been more or less 22 years though.
22 years?
Yes.
And you do a 2 week on, 1 week off shift, is that right?
Yes. We work 2 weeks and then we have a week off.
Your family, you have two kids, right?
Yes.
And
I have two daughters that live in Iquitos, my wife and my two daughters. So I have a chance to see them every week or every time I leave when I finish my 2 weeks job, of course. I'll spend 1 week with them, with the whole family.
In choosing to be a guide aboard a ship on the Amazon and its tributaries, what motivated you to do that? Why that choice instead of one of the lodges that are in the area?
Yeah, I've been doing this for almost 6 or 7 years working on a lodge. But when I moved to a cruise, this became like a very new experience to me. And well, it's something that when you go to a lodge, you spend your time on an area which is not much a place that you visit, or every day you go out, you get to travel, you know what I mean? And trying to, when you cruise, you travel a lot more, so you visit different habitats. So it motivates me, it was to know different habitats of different kind of wildlife. While in, on the other hand, when you go to a lodge, you are just in one habitat that you see certain species and nothing else, you know, unless you leave the lodge and then you go and travel to other places as well.
Have you always worked in the Iquitos area?
Mostly I've been working from Iquitos up river, upper Amazon. So my whole life we've been concentrated mostly in areas upper Amazon. So going away from Iquitos, maybe 200, 300 miles upriver.
And I like what you said about seeing different habitats. You do cover more area for sure when you cruise than when you stay at a lodge. Do you feel like you see a greater variety of wildlife?
Yes, definitely. You see also how the places change. So if you're concentrated in one area, you just see how they change only one spot and how, and but you don't know how that spot can be affecting the other species. In this case, so besides we cruise, I also am doing some research because they get to see these habitats and how it's being affected, comparing one place with another when we travel and visit these areas for many, many years.
Are you collecting data?
Yes, actually I'm doing some data about birds and collecting them. Every time we go out, sometimes I'm doing some bird lists of certain species that you find here or how the species are disappearing from one area and another as well. So doing the pretty much like how many species are migrating here and why, and the question.
It's always amazing to me how these guides can spot an animal that's invisible to the guests. George is excellent at finding especially birds, and I think you must have pointed out to us just today maybe 20 different species of bird.
Yeah, well, we're doing a count today. This morning we covered 53 species that I was doing when on that area that we cover more or less like 5 miles traveling on the skiff. And the incredible thing is that on those species that we saw, we got quite a few migratory ones, boreal migrants and austral migrants as well, exactly. So, but the seed house is changing. So that, on the other hand, I saw that they were quite, it's less the migration that I used to find like 5 or 10 years ago now. And you know, it's a little bit warming that what is actually affecting these things.
You think climate change is affecting the migration pattern?
Could be, yes. So that's my point of view, but I have to report first and see the results, because I do these reports every week or every time I go out through the fields. And when I find when I'm in Iquitos mainly, so I report my bird list to places like Cornell University and other things. And then they send me an email to see where did you find that species, and because it's not original from the air, sometimes it could be vagrant birds or something, what is happening. And we are collecting data from day one until now as well to see if it's this part of the Amazon is being affected by climate change too.
How many birds do you think you see in an average cruise?
Well, in my average cruise, we get to see more than 200 species, because the National Reserve, that's where we concentrate most of our time, so covers more or less 600 species. But if you go out, you know, and you continually do this bird watching trip, so you could cover less than 1 hour, 20 or 25 species.
You're super enthusiastic about the birds. It's catching, you know, it's infectious. People come here with the idea that they want to see megafauna. They want to see the pink dolphins. They want to see the gray dolphins. They'd love to see a jaguar or an anaconda. But by the time you're done with them, they're pretty excited about a parakeet or a horned screamer.
cows as well too, yes. So because these are a very interesting animals, so we are doing a combination of everything usually. So it's not only what I'm here to talk about the birds, but that's what it's it's my expertise. So and but we also are here to talk about mammals, the different species that live here. We talk about the plants that live and the species that are used as a medicines too. So the jungle is for us like a rainforest university, and we see different things and we get to learn every day that we go out. So we're still learning a lot more and find out why these species are very important, because every single thing is connected to each other. Not only the birds, but also the plants, the trees that we see, and a species of animals like jaguars, like there could be pumas as well on the area, why they are a lot important and as biological controllers. Like we saw today, for example, the bats, they get so well camouflaged as well, but they are very important controllers of the population of mosquitoes too. So people like that when you explain things like that. Wow, why don't we take some to our rooms and things like that? But yes, in reality, everything is connected and we are connected to nature as well somehow.
Let's talk about your cultural connection. You're a native of the area, but you're not from Iquitos City.
Exactly. So I was born and raised down the Amazon. So I grew up in a small community of 20 families. And part of my family there speak the Cocama language, because my great-grandparents are true Indians. And they were Cocama Cocamillas. But we learned the language because my grandfather taught my father, and then my father taught us as well our language when we went to school. So we learned the Spanish, we used the Spanish to communicate outside our villages, but at home we used to have sometimes to speak in our own native language too. So when I left my village, came to Iquitos, and it was totally different world, you know, just for 2-3 months to become adapted, because people like animals and everything's adapted to survive in some areas when they need to.
How old were you when you left home?
16 years old, because I studied the elementary school close to my village, and then I went to another large village to study high school. So finished when I was 16. The good thing is that my parents support my education, so they saved some money to pay my tuition and send me to some relatives that we have in Iquitos. That's where I spend my time studying and working at the same time, which was very hard as well, of course, the way how we started.
And have your children continued your cultural connection, or are they more city kids?
Yeah, they're pretty much like city kids right now. But every time I'm with them, so I tell them our roots and they understand very well. My youngest daughter is pretty much on birds too, so she's got the binoculars, and when she wake up, she goes out with me, and we do sometimes along the city, so looking for urban birds from the city as well. And she is onto nature. Well, my oldest, she is in business, so maybe there will be a connection there. Nature and business, the way to work with them. But yes, they really understand. And once a year, when I'm on vacation, I take them to visit my relatives where I grew up also. And they get to spend some time there with their grandfathers. So for a few days, and then we head back to the city.
Tourism, when done properly, can be a way to preserve, I guess, traditional ways of life. What's your opinion about tourism in general, and tourism the way the Aria practices?
There's two different things. Thanks for that question. Actually, there's not too many tour operators that I follow the good way to continue the tourism. So there are so many tour companies. I can even start a tour company, but you need to understand this place very well. Some other people, they just do that for money, but they don't care about the environment. And the difference that I find here is that the company Aqua Expedition is really involved in environmental programs. And they also educate our own people and ourselves too. Every time we are off duty, so having some talks about how important is the ecosystem and how we can preserve it. So when we go out, if you realize we got some sort of nettings that we can use, then we go and collect the plastic bottles. Or when we visit the village, trying to encourage our children as well, because they are not on, we don't consider the children as the future. They are now the present, and they help us also cleaning their villages, are now doing their contribution as well. Always company also working with some NGOs, do some foundations work and conservation of there. Some guests that wants to give in something, so how is the best way that we can contribute to the rainforest, and our company also given the best way to do it. And even send some photos as well of the work that they are developing, if there's something financial that is involved as well. And the company creates alternative for the river people. So when we visit this community, sometimes we use their dugout canoes, and we are creating some income for the families. And each individual canoe is an individual family, so they get to take something for their families as well. And when we visit, or we do jungle walks, we visit the local rangers there. The local rangers also get some income for showing us the nature. So that's the way how ecotourism is working here in the Amazon, through Aqua Expedition creating this alternative for our river people as well, which is a good way to do it as well. When we visit the village, we take our guests there, and they can enjoy watching, learning the culture, but also sometimes they like to buy things like handicrafts and stuff like that, yes.
There does seem to be a big difference in the way it feels when you come here as a backpacker. I mean, I came here, I think 2001 was my first trip to Iquitos, and you know, we didn't have a lot of resources to work with. The experience was not entirely positive, and I saw, you know, practices encouraged there that I just couldn't feel good about. It seems like at the higher end of travel, there's a lot more attention paid with the right companies to sustainability, to environmental protection, and to education and bettering the lives of the communities.
Yeah, it's true, because our main goal is protect this precious ecosystem, and also the people that live there to live in completely harmony with nature. So we don't want, because we are visiting the place that our ancestors live in, so this is a place of our ancestors, and we want to create that same respect. And our company, I guess, is doing that, respecting the things when it visits this place, creating this alternative, contributing to the ecology, inviting the children to have some talks in their schools there every time we visit, because we're trying to aware our own people, and that's the reason why we visit different communities every time we navigate, create a biodiesel programs here with the engines, not polluting the rivers and things like that. It's another thing that also the company is working on, and it's care about this environment too.
Does the Aqua run on biodiesel?
Yes, biodiesel.
It's a little noisy. You can hear it in the background, but as ships go, it's pretty quiet.
Exactly. But it's still, you know, there. a lot of these engineers that they do and they aqua have to go on to maintenance every year, so then they fix them, things like that. So sometimes here, every time, because we navigate day and night, you can easily hit some locks on the way and things like that as well. And that's why it makes the vibration too. But yes.
Is there any movement to ban plastics, commercial plastics in Peru, to ban plastic bags? I haven't seen any plastic bags, but I have seen quite a few plastic bottles. Is that a thing in Peru yet?
Well, the local government's creating laws for many different things, but we haven't seen something like that. And that's why we are starting first to collect the plastics from the rivers and things. Not only that, but it also we are seriously going into the different villages every time we are off duty, also visiting their villages and create this environmental education for the children that live there too. That's our main goal too. And reduce the amount of plastic. That's also another main goal that we're still working on it. Providing aluminum water bottle to our guests and use the aluminum water bottle. Trying to encourage them to bring in an every excursion so we can refill that. Maybe in the future there will be less plastic bottles for this company, and see the way how they're going to provide it to the guests as well. But basically we started with this use of aluminum water bottles to avoid or reduce the amount of plastic bottles.
So let's talk about seasons. You've got a rainy season here in the Amazon basin of Peru, and a drier season, or a low water season. Tell us about the differences there, and what's the advantage of each season?
Well, we do these trips all year round, and we always go to different places and see how it change. And we've seen so many changes, that's why we create this 7 days experience for people that want to see how one area compared to another area as well. And you see the changes on the seasons. On the rainy season, so you have a more chances to explore narrow streams, so you go further and see other things that you don't see on the dry season.
So the forest sort of floods, and that's what, November?
Exactly. This starts basically from the end of November until May, and May is considered our driest month. Then start the dry season from June till October, part of September as well. But there are sometimes when the water is very low, it fluctuates down to 2 or 4 meters, and those creeks are not able to explore, so we concentrate on the main river. But you see different things too that comes to the river and drink water right there. Makes them, it's like good for one season and on the rainy season and on the dry season as well. So
in dry season, it's easier to see some of the mammals because they're all coming to the river to drink.
Exactly.
Birds as well.
Exactly.
But in the flooded or the rainy season, you're able to travel through more territory through the flooded forest. And it's also dolphin breeding season, right?
Yes.
In time we're in now, February, March.
Right. So it's true, because once you explore this jungle during the dry season, you have to walk, and sometimes the mosquitoes bother them. But when the water is it's high, so then you move into the same places by boat, and that give you a totally different idea of the rainforest. So you see like species or some animals and even birds eye level. And you are walking on a dry season and you see things like on a canopy. So it is amazing way to experience also the rainy season. Yes. And every single animal depends, you know, sometimes if people want to see bigger animals or they want to fish more. So that's the season also for them to go, you know. But you can fish all year round. But it's in the dry season, which you expect to have more fish than all the day.
Yeah. And even here, we're in rainy season, and we've had maybe one downpour a day. It's, you know, right now the sky is completely blue with white puffy clouds, but you know, it's not as though it's raining all the time. It's usually a pretty intense rainfall. Is that, it could be afternoon or early evening.
Yes.
Then you've got blue sky and beautiful sunsets.
Yes, it's true. It's true. So the weather here in the jungle is unpredictable. But, you know, as in this section of the Amazon where we experience 250 days of rain each year. So we expect to have a rain at any time. So we that's the reason why we are always prepared. And we provide our kids always rain ponchos. In case it starts to rain, then we can provide that. So, but we always move. Even though it's raining and we are on the raining season, the water won't rise up. It's still coming down a little bit. So we experience that also in these days. Probably it's because the snow stopped falling up in the Andes. So when the snow stopped falling in the Andes, even though it rains 2, 3, or 4 days, the water won't rise up more than an inch or 2 inches. But if it's still falling up in the Andes, with a lot of snow in those areas, so if we have a hot days, 3 or 4 days or a whole week, it doesn't rain at all, the water will keep rising up. It's amazing how you can see this on the Amazon.
We're talking about an enormous volume of water. You know, I've seen the Missouri River, I've seen the Mississippi. This is something completely different. It's not clear water, it's sort of a muddy, very tannic water. Today I went swimming. George was the only guy to get in the water. But it's so dark that when you put your hand in the water, you know, up to the elbow, you can no longer see your fingers because of the cloudiness, the tannins in the water.
Acid. Yes, there's a lot of tannic acid. So we're talking about that, James. We're talking about the most voluminous river in the world that has more than 1,100 tributaries, and 17 of those tributaries are even larger than the Mississippi River. So this is a river that discharges more than the, let's see, 57 million gallons of water per second into the Atlantic Ocean. So it's a tremendous amount of fresh water that goes out of the sea. And the reason why this water gets like white muddy is because it brings lots of sediments from the Andean region as well. Yes.
Well, George, thank you so much for your time. I know it looks like we're coming to a stop. You've got to go take care of things. Thank you for all your time.
It's been a pleasure. So thank you very much, John.
Thank you.
I'm ready.
Okay, great to be here with you, Roger Tejada, one of the four naturalist guides aboard the Aria. Roger, how long have you been guiding?
Besides this company, I already 19 years, almost getting for 20 years working for, you know, different company of tourism companies. I mean,
how much of that time has been aboard the Aria?
5 years already, sir. So a great, amazing, and wonderful experience, you know, guiding in the Amazon.
You're from this area, right?
Yes, sir. To give you a better idea, I grew up about 145 miles upriver from Iquitos City, and I am from the very nice Indian tribe called Tawayo, so the place where I'm coming from.
And when did you leave your home? When did you leave the Tawayo community?
When I was about 12 years old, daddy used to sell, you know, a skin of animals back to Iquitos. And he used to kill a lot. He used to hunt a lot, you know, with harpoons. And he met somebody else in Iquitos who invited daddy to go to work together in the oil company. And they moved us to the civilization. After 12 years old, I started to grow up in Iquitos as well. That's the reason I become as a naturalist guide, English, and also I am one of the naturalists. I speak German too. Yes, sir.
Your father's life as a hunter and your life now as a guide, those are related but very different. Can you give me your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, so I grow in the jungle, eating everything, whatever daddy, you know, hunt. But daddy was to be one sort of very good hunters back home, you know, back to that Tawayo Indian tribe. Mom used to just prepare the food for us. I, as a natural guide already, I am in charge to protect the rainforest and flora and fauna in general, you know, mammals. This is because part of our job to show the tourists, you know, when they are here in the Peruvian Amazon rainforest.
Your experience here on the Aria is different than probably what you experienced as a guide in some of the lodges. Can you tell me about the differences there and maybe why you prefer and why you've decided to go with cruising?
Well, it's a big difference, you know, being guiding in the rainforest, in the eco lodge. I come in from those places too. It's a very different experience being in the Aria Amazon on board of this, you know, the five-star hotel, floating hotel in the Amazon. They focus most of the time into the national park called Pacaya and Samiria, so make it a wonderful adventure. The idea is as much wildlife we find, you know, is much better, because tourists, they coming not only for seeing just trees, you know, the green vegetation, they want to see monkeys like we saw, for example, in one afternoon, four different types of monkeys like yesterday, you know, so which means it was a great adventure for all the passengers on board of Aria, of course.
It's true. I mean, when you're at a lodge, you're visiting the same territory over and over again with guests each day, or maybe every other day. And here we're visiting, you know, not even the same area, and at the most once a week.
Well, it's very beautiful when you are in the Eco Lodge, because it's a very different experience. You experience much more the rainforest. So. And sometimes you can see it, spiders walking on the wall of the cabins, or sometimes tarantulas, you know, those kind of things. But
you make it sound great.
Yeah, being in Aria Amazon, you know, we are not in the middle of the forest. We are floating in the water, so which means it's very different, of course, being in the lodge. Both are very great adventure, of course, much more adventure if you love it, you know, being in much more in touch with, you know, the rainforest, so you choose most of the time lodge. But a vessel is very different. From here, we, you know, just in focus most of the time boat rides, where we, you know, have most of the time great adventure, you know, along the Amazon. Yes, sir. It's really nice.
Let's talk about the seasons, dry versus wet. Do you have a preference between those two, favorite?
Well, both of them, they are very beautiful. When the weather is very high, right after December to May, you know, it makes a wonderful experience also, because a lot of plants and trees, they are blooming, and birds flying around. It's very nice, and you can take also the small creeks that you can explore more deep jungle by boat. You don't need to get off. Everything is flooded. But right after May to June to November, I mean, so it's the dry season, the water dropping down, and there is only one canal where you can find much more wildlife. You know, the animals, they don't have chance to drink the water, deep jungle, so they come into the main canal of the river and they drink the water. So you can easily find much more, like a big mammals like jaguars and tapirs, for example, and huge troops of capybaras, you know, eating the grass along the river bank. So which means it's really amazing. Yeah.
So dry season is maybe your favorite time.
Much more. September, October is such a wonderful season to come in and visit the rainforest if you are going to visit the national park.
And we were talking earlier about the different cruise options. There's a 7-day, a 3-day, a 4-day. On the 4-day, you do go much farther from the major city where the airport's located.
Yes, sir. So. We move from Monday to Friday, you know, along the Ucayali River, so which means much more far destination. Round trip, we are talking about 322 miles altogether, so that we cover along the Ucayali River, so which means it's much more far. As much far you go, I mean, you know, it's much more adventure, and you have much more chance to find more. Yes, sir.
When clients are considering coming to the Amazon region, you know, and maybe they have other options. Maybe they're thinking about visiting to Titicaca or spending some time in another country. What would you say to them to convince them? Or what would you say to encourage them to come to the Amazon? What will they find? What's different about it?
Well, so being in the Amazon is really wonderful because the experience is totally different. Weather is very different. When you go along the Amazon, just let's talk about the local communities that they love pictures. You know, they never saw too much people, like white-skinned people, like tourists, for example, coming and taking pictures and that they love it. So what I recommend the rainforest is because there's nothing to worry, like people thinking about are you going to find, or maybe anaconda is going to jump on you. No, we most of the time we find animals, we take the look, we take great pictures, and that's the part that most of the time I recommend to come in here, because it's really amazing to see it, more than 2,000 different species of birds, you know, during the 4 or 5 days sometimes. It's really, really amazing. I recommend coming to the rainforest because there is nothing to worry. There is only mammals or maybe monkeys jumping in the branch of the trees, birds, a lot of them flying around, going to piranhas fishing, you know, so which means make it a really, really unbelievable and unforgettable, you know, experience.
People hear piranha and they get nervous, but these guys are fruit eaters.
Piranhas, we think that the poor piranhas, they took the bad reputation only by movies like Hollywood, for example, because we don't have shower in the houses, so we jump in the water and we swim among piranhas, and even if you are bleeding, so piranhas never come in, never attack to you. We eat piranhas as a humans. Piranhas, they don't eat humans.
Yeah, they should be more worried about us.
Exactly.
I did go swimming today, no injuries to report.
Yeah, that's very, very sure. So we jump in the water every single day, and we have a wonderful time all the time swimming in the Amazon.
Tell me about what you'd like to pass on to your kids, the stewardship you feel for the land or your heritage.
Oh, well, I would like, you know, to teach my children. I know I have not enough time maybe to teach them, but in my free time, like on my week off, you know, I go to back home, what I'm trying to teach my children, you know, part of my language, coming from Tawayo Indian tribe, but they are unbelievable, much more interesting into the English language, but they know a lot of words, but they don't speak like I do, for example, so far, you know. Nowadays, I still speak in my own language, so, but it is very sad, nobody else understand. I am the last in my family, so I keep doing, you know, this speaking, I mean, this language. I pass into my kids, you know, I love the rainforest. I am passing to them the experience, you know, and I teach them how amazing is, for example, the rainforest, how nice it is to protect, you know, every single creature, every single monkey or ants, you know, or birds along the rainforest. So they understand very well about the environment, because all the time I try to teach as much I can my children. It's not only my children back home, it's also the children in the rainforest. They need to understand, you know, to protect, how to protect in good ways, you know, the rainforest, and also how to keep clean the environment, you know, it's really important. Yeah.
You do outreach with the communities you visit for education?
Yes, sir. Yeah, we take 2-3 minutes of your time, of our time, and we teach them, you know, for example, when we invite it, or sometimes the tourists bring, you know, stuff that they don't need to throw it on the ground, like, or in the water, like plastic things, you know, that we need to take care about it, and they need to burn it to make it disappear, you know, and keep clean the environment, or the place where they live in the jungle, of course.
Roger, in closing, would you give us a little Tawayo? Would you say a few words for us so we can hear your language?
Sure. The Natarana Samarakiriki Samarakiniho Muya Itrima Toro Kenemiritaya. I say, you know, thank you very much for this interview, and very happy to have you in here, Mr. John. Thank you very much, sir.
Awesome.
No problem.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
If you'd like to know more about custom travel in Latin America and the Antarctic, reach out to us at landedtravel.com. Since 2006, Landed's success has been built on word-of-mouth referrals. If you enjoyed this episode, please take a minute to rate the podcast or share it with a friend. Thank you for listening.